And if you can, if you'd like to join reading with me, you can open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, all the verses. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was very old. Jesse's 3 eldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second, Abinadab, and the third, Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all of the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man comes out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, and put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from its sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Shearim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem."
Let's pray. God, how encouraged it is for us to know that the battle belongs to you. Lord, we go through battles every day, and it can be so hard for us to recognize and be reminded that you are there. You're with us. You're in every circumstance. You walk with us, Lord. If we have put our trust in you, we have your Spirit. Lord, help us as we think about the perspective that is needed to live this life following you, walking with you. Lord, help us to see the ways that you desire for us to view the world, to view the battles, to see and to reflect and to acknowledge, Lord, that it is you who fights for us. We do not need to be afraid, regardless of circumstance. We can trust in you. So, Lord, in these few moments, help us, Lord, wherever we find ourselves today, to see the next steps that we can take moving forward, trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you haven't already, you're welcome to turn with me. I'm going to be in 1 Samuel. I'm going to be in chapter 17. We're walking through the story of David. We've been walking through the story. We're going to continue along. And here we are. We're at a story that is very familiar for many. If you've been a Christian for some period of time, there's a good chance you've heard this story before. In fact, I'm fairly confident that there are people that know about David and Goliath that don't even realize that this story is found in the Bible. I've listened and watched sporting events, and one of the phrases that sometimes is used is they'll say, this is a real David versus Goliath event. And what's meant by that is there is one team that is really, really good, that looks the part of their team, that they are going to be dominant. And there's another team that just looks a little bit weaker. And though there's the game that needs to be played, and who knows who could win, often it's understood that if it's a David versus Goliath event, most likely Goliath is going to win. Or if somehow the weaker team wins, they'll say, ah, that was a really David versus Goliath event because somehow, miraculously, this weaker team won. And so the concept of David and Goliath, it's known even in our spheres of influence. I think many people have heard this story before. But I invite you as we hear this story this morning, as we think about this story, and we're only going to get a little bit into the story. We're barely even going to taste really so much of what is going on here. But as we get into this story, can we be reminded that there is so much here for us? Most importantly, I want to encourage you this morning, as you think about David, as you reflect on David, yeah, there are principles that we can take in. Amen. Amen. We need to reflect and be reminded the battle is the Lord's as we go into battle. But so much more, I think it's important that we recognize there is a greater David. His name is Jesus. And Jesus went into battle in a way that is so different than how you and I go into battle. Jesus laid down his life without taking a sword. He gave up his life so that he could defeat our enemy, our Goliath, sin, and death. And so as we come to this story, let us be reminded of our David, the true David, and the confidence that you and I can have in Jesus. And so with that, we're going to jump right in. We've already seen some of the story that's taking place because we're going to start in verse 11. And if you can imagine, if you can just think about this with me, you have Saul, the king of Israel. You have the Israelites. They form their battle lines like they had before. And they're standing, and across the valley, you have the Philistines. And then you have this giant of a man, not just a giant of a man, but literally the person who exudes what it means to be the dominant warrior. Could not have been mistaken. In earthly terms, Goliath looked the part of a champion. Dominant. I mean, can we imagine just how big he would have been coming out from the other Philistines, holding his shield with his sword? Just how impressive that would have been. So the response of Saul and the response of the Israelites is one of, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. And for you and I, when we look at things in the earthly sense, we can see things that look like Goliath and they can scare us. We can be dismayed. We can be discouraged. There are moments when that can happen in our lives. If we go back and we look at 1 Samuel 16, if we think about, we actually heard some of this a couple weeks ago. If we think about this, the paragraph before and the story before 1 Samuel 17, we know that the Spirit departed from Saul. The Spirit had departed from Saul. That Saul is now viewing the world, and he's thinking about things from an earthly perspective. He's not thinking about things in the Spirit's power. He's not being led in the Spirit's power. And so his response is one of fear. If we're not walking in step with the Spirit, our response also can be one of dismay, can be one of fear. We can find ourselves to be terrified. Terrified. So this response, it is actually one that makes a lot of sense. If we're not walking in the Spirit, we too can find ourselves to be terrified. And it's really interesting as we think about Saul's response and Israel's response, because if we jump to verse 23, we see, as he was talking with them, this is Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. That David heard the same things that were going on. David heard Goliath, the champion. He sort of seen him from an earthly perspective, but he didn't just see him from an earthly perspective, because David had the Spirit of God within him. And so though he saw the champion, he recognized Goliath to be a warrior, David also knew that he was empowered by the Spirit. He had the right perspective. And so David, he's talking to others, he's interacting with his brothers, he's getting the news just like his dad had told him to do. But when he saw the situation, and David himself, I mean, he could have turned and left. He's not expected to do anything. He's just a boy, right? He's just a young man. In fact, Goliath had started fighting when he was David's age. So there's no reason for David to insert himself at all into this story. But he does. He hears what is going on with Goliath. And his response is wonderful. His response is wonderful. Found in verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" This is a young man. I mean, I can imagine, I think about myself when I was a young man, how arrogant I would have looked if I would have said this. In fact, David's brother told him, "Stop it. Go away. You are not being humble. Be quiet." Like, clearly, David, you can't do anything. Do you see this Goliath? But David had the Spirit of God within him. He was able to look into this situation and to recognize that God was going to work. He was already working. God had worked in the past. He was going to work into their future. He was going to work into the future. So David could reflect and he could recognize that he could trust in God. And so it's interesting, as David reflected on his life, David saw God at work numerous times in his life. It's really interesting to think about this. We can start in verse 34 and think about how David had perspective on his own life. "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine.'" So David, as he lived his life, he was able to reflect, look back on the ways that God had protected him. He could have stated, he could have said, well, Saul, I've killed lions, I've killed bears, I can go and kill this uncircumcised Philistine. But notice his grammar, notice how he speaks and how he conveys why he will be able to defeat Goliath. He says, "God has done this. Clearly God has protected me all of my life. I give him the credit for defeating the lion and the bear. God has done this. And if God has protected me in the past, I know I can trust in him for the future. I can trust in him for the future." And for you and I, it's important. We also reflect on this and think about this. As we live our lives, as we see victories, we should be thanking God because we can see him at work in our lives. Though we could say, "Yes, God, I am the one who has overcome my struggles and my circumstances." Or we could say, "God, thank you for sustaining me. Thank you, God, for sustaining me. for keeping me, for guarding me, for protecting me, so that I can move forward in faith. You have a purpose, God, in my life. And for David, he recognized that the purpose right now, was that he would step out in faith. He would step out in faith, and he would kill this Philistine. He would kill this Philistine. Recently, Amanda and I went to the beach. We took Ruby. It's our first time going to the ocean. I was reminded, it's a big ocean for an adult. If you've ever been to the ocean, most of us probably have. It's a big ocean for an adult. There can be an all experience to look out and to see the waves that are crashing along the sand. And just the sand itself can be impressive when we see the wind that comes across. It's an impressive thing to go to the beach just for an adult. But I was reminded that it is even bigger for a baby when they see the ocean. And so the first time when we took Ruby out, I'm thankful it was just for a short period of time. It's like a chance for her just to get used to her surroundings. And so we took her out, and I'm holding her. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. She's going to love this. She's going to love this. This is going to be great. I'm a naive dad. I'm so excited. And I take her out, and her immediate response is sheer panic. She's kicking her legs, screaming. I'm holding her. I'm like, this is going to be great. And all of a sudden, it dawns on me, wow, this is sensory overload for this baby. I mean, she's hearing the kids screaming. She's seeing the waves coming in. The wind's coming through. Oh, my goodness. She's just going crazy. And I think to myself, oh, wow. This is not what I was expecting. And this perspective is not what I was expecting either. And so I took her. I was like, oh, we're still going to have a good time. I know you're safe. It's going to be okay. And so I took her over. I let her, like, stand in the stand. She's freaking out again. I'm like, okay, this is not... We're not getting where we want to go, so I just held her for a while, held on to her. She latched on to me, which, I mean, let me just say, a baby, if you have not held a baby recently, they have razor-sharp nails. And so she just latches on. She was not going to let go. I did not have to worry. I could have let her go, and she would have been hanging on to me. But there was a moment for her of fear and terror. Fear and terror. As the week went along, she began to watch the kids that are running around. She began to realize, oh, they're having fun. Her sensory perception was able to slowly calm down. She wasn't overwhelmed. She actually began, as the week went on, I had to watch her because she started to play in our area underneath our umbrella, which we had a nice size blanket, but Ruby's starting to move around now, so she would turn and like dive for the sand. So I had to watch her that she wouldn't grab the sand and pull it into her mouth. She got more and more comfortable as she gained perspective. And for us, it's important that even as David had this perspective, we could look at our lives as if Ruby looked into the world. We could look at our lives in this way of looking around and going, wow, this is a big ocean. Or wow, this is a big circumstance that I'm facing. When we forget that our Heavenly Father is the one who is holding on to us, that he's sustained us all the while. He will continue to sustain us. We can take a breath and recognize that he will not let us go even unto death. He has us in his hands. And David knew that. David knew that God had protected him. God had a purpose in mind for his life. And as he was going to go to battle to take down this Philistine, he could trust that God had him in his hands. So what circumstance are you going through right now? Maybe we can reflect if you're coming out of a season where you can be thankful to say, God, thank you for sustaining me. There were moments when I was terrified. And that is totally fair. I don't want to cheapen or diminish those moments of fear. They are real. They are real. Pain is a real thing. It's a real thing. But David knew that God was going to work through him. And for you and I, it's important that we recognize that God has a plan, a purpose for our lives, so we can trust him when we go through the storm, when we go through circumstances that could make us overly fearful. We can continue to move forward in faith. And for David, this uncircumcised Philistine, if we can be reminded, he was opposing Israel. God himself had said that he was going to go before the Israelites. He was going to fight for the Israelites. It's interesting now as we come to this next verse, we can think about this, that God had a purpose not just for David, but he had a purpose for the Israelites too. So in verse 43, it said, he said to David, this is the Philistine. It's just an interesting way of communicating. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Remember, David's coming, he's bringing his sling and his stones. What that must have looked like to Goliath. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. See, the Philistine, he was going to prove that his gods were greater. He was going to prove that the Philistines were greater. Cursed David by his gods. Yet here we have this young man coming with his sling, with his stone, and his response is awesome. His response is awesome because he had the right perspective. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." If we read this story appropriately and in context, we can recognize that there's actually a missional component to the story of David and Goliath. There's a missional component. There's a grace beyond the walls perspective for us to recognize. And that is that David knew that God had chosen Israel as a means to reveal himself to the world. God had chosen Israel as a means to reveal himself to the world. And so when we see this word, Lord, we can actually be reminded that the word Lord in Hebrew, it's Yahweh. Yahweh. It's a name. God had revealed himself to the Israelites. He revealed himself to Moses. He had said, "This is my name. I am Yahweh." And so David said, "The Lord Almighty. Yahweh Almighty, our God, he will defeat you. You will know that he is real. You will know there is a God in Israel. You've cursed me with your gods. But you will know that Yahweh, God, who's revealed himself to us, he is real. Because I will defeat you, Goliath. And the Lord Almighty, he will defeat the Philistines. You will be brought into our hands." And for us, as we go into life, as we move forward in faith, let us be reminded that God himself, Yahweh, the Lord, will reveal himself as we go through struggles and circumstances. He desires to make himself known through us. So every circumstance is an opportunity for us to reveal the Lord's work in our lives. It's amazing. God desires to work through you for his purposes. And so you and I, we move forward in faith, knowing that we have perspective for the past, and we move forward confident, knowing God will be faithful for His purposes, because the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And so on a macro level, it's so encouraging for us because we know that God will be triumphant. We know that God will be triumphant. But I think it's important also that we recognize on a macro level what it means for us to see the triumphant work of God. For David, it looked like this. For David, it looked like verse 48 and following. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the head, on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. And we heard the rest of the story that the Philistines run. They're now terrified. They've just seen the miraculous take place, and they run, and the Israelites strike them down. We're going to continue to see more of how the Spirit works through David's life in weeks to come. But let us be reminded that the Spirit of God is at work within you and within me. But it is important that we see that our Goliath really is sin and death. I believe our Goliath really is sin and death. Yeah, our Goliath, in one respect, it is Satan too. It's the evil one. It's the demons who seek to strike us down. But ultimately, our Goliath is sin and death, which Satan wields towards us to strike us down. That we have a curse within us apart from Jesus Christ. There was a real problem. You and I have a real problem if we've not put our trust in Jesus. That we deserve death because of the Goliath. That we deserve death because we cannot on our own strike down the uncircumcised Philistine. We cannot on our own earn salvation. We need the miraculous. And Jesus Christ Himself offers us the miraculous. He offers Himself the miraculous, the miracle of stepping from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life, a life that will last into eternity. I've heard it said before that some people think that the Goliaths in our lives, they're simply the challenges that you and I face. And to one extent, I can kind of go along with that. I can kind of go along with that. But the truth is that for you and I, we don't know the purposes of God, and we don't know how He will use the struggles that we face in life for His honor and glory. So the Goliath that we face, I don't think it's health in and of itself. I don't think it's wealth in and of itself. I don't think that if you simply believe, God, I'm going to go in as David, I'm going to strike down the Goliath of my health, as painful as that is, we don't know how God will take and He will use the struggles in our health for His honor and glory. The financial struggles that you and I face, we don't know how God will use those things for His honor and glory. So I think we set ourselves up for a false understanding of God. And I think we actually set ourselves up to be disappointed if we think that we in and of ourselves are David, and we simply need to believe and to throw our stone at the Goliath of our health or of our wealth. And if we have enough faith, we will strike that Goliath down and we will be victorious. Don't think that's what this story is saying. Don't think that's what this story is saying. I think it's important that we recognize that. Because I honestly think that is a poison that is out there. It's a lie. It's a lie that is out there that makes many Christians dismayed and even really disappointed in God. Because why wouldn't you come through for me, God? When we don't know the war that God is fighting, and we don't know how God will take a circumstance, even someone's death, and turn it around for His honor and glory. Because Jesus himself, he is the ultimate David. He is the ultimate David. He was the one that was to come. In many respects, David was that messianic prototype. He was the person who was exuding who Jesus would be. Going in faith, Jesus himself would lay down his life to give us life. That if we put our trust in him, we can receive eternal salvation. So as you and I go forward in faith, let us be reminded what the true war is. That there is a battle that is taking place. And as the song we just sang communicates, we will fight in a way that is different than the world around us. We're going to fight in faith. We're going to fight in faith, trusting that God has gone before us. He's the same God who's been faithful in the past. He will sustain us. And the macro victory, it will be his. We know that in the end, God wins the battle. He already has. Jesus himself has conquered sin and death. Now you and I will put our trust in him. If we do that, if we've done that, we need to live our lives victoriously. Live your life victoriously. Because the battle is the Lord. And in the end, Jesus will return again. What a day that will be. For followers of Christ, we do not need to be afraid of the coming judgment. You don't need to be afraid of the coming judgment. Because there is a day when God will make all things, all wrongs, perfectly right. And if we put our trust in him, we will experience being in perfect relationship in the presence of God. What a day that will be. So can I encourage you, can I encourage us that we move forward in faith knowing God has protected us. He's protected us. And he will be triumphant. So that when we go through the battles of life, we won't be surprised when we go through challenging circumstances. We'll have the opportunity to produce something wonderful. We'll have the opportunity to produce the Spirit's power in our life. So how might God be seeking to work through you in a way that you can convey his mission? The Lord saves. How might he be able to communicate that through you? How is he communicating that through you? As we go through this Labor Day weekend, maybe that's an opportunity for you, maybe with your family, to have a conversation, to be encouraged, to be thankful for the ways that our Heavenly Father is working for us, the ways he's provided, the ways he will continue to provide for our needs. That we have an opportunity to convey peace, enjoy, when we could, in an earthly perspective, be terrified and dismayed. God can use us in any and every situation for his honor and glory through his Spirit's power. So we do not need to be afraid when we go into the battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for allowing us to know the story of David and Goliath. Because we go through trials. We go through moments when we can be terrified. And I know the feeling of terror. It's not helpful. It's not helpful. God, help us when we go through struggles to move forward in our faith. And Lord, help us as a church community to lift each other up when we go through the hard times. To encourage each other. We're walking through life together, and most importantly, God is with us through his Spirit. He's not surprised in any circumstance we face, and he will receive honor and glory through our lives. We just need to continue to trust in him. So, Spirit, we ask that you would continue to convey your mission through us. In Jesus' name, amen.